What are the top trends you need to know to grow your mobile app in 2022? Well, it's a look ahead at what matters and a focus on what you can't afford to miss with AppLovin, a company that sits at the center of how companies market, monetize, analyze, and publish their apps. So stay tuned for this and more in episode number 450. Welcome to Mobile Presence, your destination for everything mobile. I'm your host, as always, Peggy Ann Saltz, mobile analyst, tech consultant, senior Forbes writer, and founder of Mobile Grooves. It's episode 450. That's a lot of episodes. I've been doing this for a long time. Huge shout out. They're behind the scenes, but hey, huge shout out to the people literally behind the scenes right now. Brasco, our producer, the one and only king of podcasts. Ricky, also the man behind Monkey Media, and Darren and Brandy, the heart, the driving force of WMRFM. I just have to say that because it's the end of the year and we have a lot to be thankful for. We also have learned to adapt. We've learned to roll with the punches if you're marketers, because it was a year that tested your mettle. You almost don't even want to think about predictions for the new year. You don't want to put yourself on that limb, but guess what? My guest is going to do it. She's up for the challenge. Named one of the most powerful women in mobile advertising by Business Insider, my guest is also the recipient of the 2021 Marketing Leader of the Year Award by Masthead Media. She's the CEO. She's not the CEO. Maybe that's going too far. No, she's the CMO of AppLovin. AppLovin, of course, a leading marketing software company with powerful integrated solutions for developers to grow their businesses. So she has the overview of growth and what marketers want to know to grow. So Katie Jensen, thank you and welcome to Mobile Presence, Katie. Great to have you.
Great. Thanks for having me. I really appreciate it. Also great to be on this, 450th episode. Yeah. Exciting for you guys. Congratulations.
It's all aligned. It's all aligned. Yeah. The stars are aligned for some great predictions. That's why I had you. I thought, yes, I want to know about the bigger picture out there. You know, predictions are always a thing. I'm just curious, did you make any predictions about 2021? Are you one of those people who says, hey, look what I predicted and look what came true? Did that happen for you?
I have to be honest, you know, being here at AppLovin, 2021 was very much all focused on our IPO. So I did, towards the end of 2020, predict that we were going to IPO because we were kind of in the in the depths of all the work we were doing to IPO. I know that's not an exciting prediction that really applies to a lot of the users, but that's really where we were as a company, and we were doing a lot. And to your point, such a difficult time then and now. Although now we just at least have a little better idea of the steady state we're dealing with. It was really difficult to make predictions. I think very general predictions that we thought that have really come to pass were just simply the growth of the app industry, the growth of apps within the industry. I mean, you just have more people at home, more of that on demand need, more of the I need it at my home. So we made predictions around that have all come to pass, I think, but nothing too groundbreaking or earth shattering, I would say. A little more on the boring, obvious side. Sorry.
No. I mean, I was just thinking about an IPO and, you know, in these times, what did you do? I'm just curious, you know, was it like celebrating virtually? What did you do to mark that? I'm just curious.
Yeah. So it was April of this year. So we actually were able to go to New York, but it was, I will tell you, it was back and forth. First of all, it's not easy to plan an IPO and the IPO celebration, as you can imagine. Historically, for those who don't watch the bell ringing every day, like I didn't, you have hundreds of employees that get to go to the trade floor historically and ring the bell and celebrate. Obviously, with the pandemic, you aren't going to have hundreds of employees all in one place physically together. So we kind of did a hybrid. We were lucky enough to do a hybrid. So many of the IPOs before us had to do all virtual. There just wasn't an option. I think we were you know, the fourth or fifth IPO to come out to have a little bit of a physical presence. So eight of us were able to go and be on the trade, you know, then at the NASDAQ. And then, you know, all masked up and COVID, you know, multiple COVID tests to keep it safe. And then we also had our employees there virtually celebrating as well. So, you know, the downside was that that close physical contact and just being together and seeing each other, we weren't able to have. But on the flip side, we were able actually to include a lot more employees from all over the globe, and a lot more people got to participate. And we also did this awesome thing that they had just launched with an app where we sent swag to our employees and they took pictures in the swag with their family members or their dogs or friends, whoever they wanted. And then we were able to post their pictures on digital billboards in Times Square. So it was just a lot of new things that the NASDAQ had introduced to kind of make it really. And I think the upside was there was just a lot more inclusion of everybody at the company too.
Very, very interesting, because inclusion, of course, was a big topic in 2021 for companies, for marketing. We saw that. But I want to get back to the predictions. So 2021, you know, massive growth for the app economy, you know, great success for AppLovin with your IPO and other developments. Let's look ahead. 2022, you said you're going to do it. You're going to get out on that limb, Katie. You're going to hand over a couple of, we're going to just riff on what you think we need to be looking for. What would be your number one?
Well, I think to make it, you know, to talk not about AppLovin, but to make it more about the economy, just to be clear, like you're talking about, that can apply to all. I think we're just going to continue to see this vibrant creator economy, right? I think what we've seen in, what I am very excited about that we've seen in 2020 and 2021 is really that we have these creators, we have these local creators, these extremely creative people that are out there producing apps, they're out there producing content, they're out there doing YouTube, they're out there doing, I mean, they're everywhere, right? And it's just growing. I mean, it's TikTok, it's YouTube, it's Insta Reels, it's the apps themselves. And I think it's something like over 50 million independent creators, curators, and community builders. I mean, that's huge, right? That's like over $100 billion market that's predicted in 2022. And I personally, like professionally love it, personally love it. I love seeing all these people get to go out there and shine and create different things. And we're able to really connect with it now that we're, I mean, for me anyways, that we're a little less scheduled, right? We're a little, we have a little more time in between meetings. We're at home a little bit more than we used to be. And these different ways of connecting with the content, I think is huge. You know, YouTube, I think, put out that they're expected to generate some $30 billion in revenue by the end of the year, just from these self-made entrepreneurs. Like, I mean, I just find that to be so exciting. For folks and for us in terms of the level of diverse content that we're getting.
I mean, it is really exciting because the growth is not just the growth of the economy, but there's like this real organic growth. This is like, you know, that mass that we used to talk about, right? Remember the long tail? And it was the old idea that, you know, we have a long tail and we have all these possibilities for apps and there's really going to be an app for that. And then we sort of maybe lost the plot just a little bit, focused, had some great blockbuster apps, but now you're talking about the creator economy. I mean, is there a vertical or something you're watching or that you're very excited about, or maybe even verticals you're exploring because, hey, now there's just more choice.
Yeah. Well, I'm a health and fitness nut. So just from a personal perspective, I'd say that's where I've seen a lot. You know, App Annie said, like, I think it was 2020 or 2021, there's like, you know, over 70,000 health and fitness apps launched. I mean, that's huge. And I'll be honest, before the pandemic, I very rarely engaged in them. I would go to more traditional gym classes. I'd go to yoga studios. And I find it to be awesome. I mean, I must have you know, 30 or 40 of these apps just on my phone alone. because, you know, again, you know, tying back to the IPO, you don't have a lot of time. So to be able to take these bite-sized bits of content, like a 10-minute workout here, a 15-minute workout here, a 20-minute, and kind of cobble them together for your traditional hour-long class that you go into, and to do it with different apps, and to just get like different instructors, different types of content. I was always really hesitant to do it because I like the personal instruction. And I've also started to see recently, and I don't know if you've seen some of these, but there's health and fitness apps that are now really invested in AI, so that you can actually see if your position is correct and how to correct your position. And they actually give you help on your form, which I think is huge. So you're not only seeing more apps, but you're seeing the apps get more sophisticated and more tailored to what the users need to continue using those apps, even when, you know, those studios and those live classes are back. And I think that's great to see. They're thinking about, okay, how can I continue to keep people engaged and going forward?
Great place to stop, actually, Katie, because I do have to go to break. But I mean, that's the point. You've got, you know, more apps, more possibilities for growth, more choice. But of course, there's going to be more competition. So, you know, what do you do as a marketer? But I want to leave us with a cliffhanger. I want people to come back, think about that for a moment, because that's what we're going to get to, more predictions and some paths to, yeah, profits and audience building, because we're going to follow up on these predictions. So don't go away. We'll come right back.
Thank you.
Mobile Presence, sponsored by CleverTap, a leading engagement and retention platform, will be back after this message.
And we're back to Mobile Presence. I'm your host, Peggy Ann Saltz. Of course, our guest today is Katie Jansen. She is CMO of AppLovin, sharing some of her predictions for the new year. And what I love about this, Katie, is that they're positive. You know, it's about mobile app growth, but it's also, quite honestly, not going to be a walk in the park, because where there are a ton of apps, there's also going to be, although a ton of opportunities, some competition. But you have another prediction, or rather what you see as a model that's going to really gain some traction in 2022. It's all about not going it alone. Mm. Tell me about that.
To take back to what you said, I think, look, the landscape is changing. Mobile is fast, right? Like, what, you know, to get mobile has been around for what, 10 or so years, and it did what the internet did in what, 20, 30, I don't know, maybe even more years. And so it's constantly changing. I mean, you can't ignore the privacy changes that are happening. And just, we're talking about more apps right now. That does mean more competition. That's a lot more competition. UA is costly for smaller apps. UA is just costly, I guess, in general, I think is a good way to think about it, right? Mm-hmm. So, I think there's ways for content creators to partner with one another. I think, you know, the larger companies can obviously start to rely a lot more on the cross promotion piece. I think that smaller, newer apps, the indie apps, I'm starting to hear them talk about, okay, how can we partner? You don't necessarily even need to be one company. You don't need to get acquired by a big company. I can be a yoga app who partners with a Pilates app, who partners with a meditation app, right? And we can actually cross promote one another's just through more organic cross promo deals. And I love the innovation and just the kind of, I don't know, like partnership friendship that says, right? Like, I'm small, we're small together. I don't necessarily like, not everyone wants to take over the world with their app. A lot of people want to do what they do so well creatively and build a business and a living, but they don't need to be Amazon, right? So I love just kind of that local building. I think also getting apps in different verticals to take lessons from some of the gaming apps. Gaming apps is obviously something we know really well here at AppLovin, but also they have been on the forefront of you know, how to acquire and how to monetize for a long time now. And other verticals are quite frankly, you know, just catching up. So moving beyond the social platforms, Facebook and Google are usually always things you test with for any kind of UA. So I think moving beyond and adding more partners, more and more platforms are getting a lot more sophisticated. So to target them with relevant ads and engaging ads, that becomes more important, right? As the, you know, the privacy landscape changes, the more engaging and interesting the ad, the better. How do you speak to your users and get them engaged? Testing matters a ton too. So even for smaller apps, making sure that you, when you launch something new in the app, making sure you test it. And you can easily do that simply through ads or something like that, but test it to a small group before you launch it to your entire audience. You've worked really hard to get these folks, these engaged customers. You don't want to lose them because of a new feature. All of those things, I think, can help you no matter what the size and can kind of help you bob and weave in this new landscape. And it's always changing too, right? Like what we see now will be something different in like 3 months.
And it's about opportunities for indies, which is great. You know, you're talking about, okay, you know, not everyone can own the world. You know, there are great indie apps. And if you can just band together and maybe someone has a fitness app, I've seen a lot of really cool stuff between personal fitness, right? Mm. And personal wellness and financial wellness. So I'm seeing like fintech getting together with fitness. You might say, well, isn't that really interesting? But it's all really about managing your life and get these partnerships right. And it's going to be very exciting.
Yes. Or the crypto NFTs that are coming out. A lot of people are talking about, you know, crypto and NFTs and how they'll be a big part of games, which I completely believe. But I also think, to your point, partnerships are available in verticals well beyond that. I don't see why that can't be relevant in health and wellness. I don't see why it can't be relevant in e-commerce. There's a lot that can be done across vertical. And I think it's going to be a really exciting year to see that.
And of course, underlying all of this engagement, but I'm hearing that you're a bit bullish on NFTs. Let me dive into that a bit, Katie. Why are you thinking that? Maybe they'll be like your sub third prediction for 2022. They're coming on strong.
Yeah, I believe so. I believe so. So I think we'll see it in the game, in games, in mobile games. You're already starting to see it. Some of it in some games, but think about it, right? There's already goods. There's already virtual goods that you're buying. The gaming community is just ripe for NFTs and crypto coin, you know, buying crypto coin, having their own crypto wallets. Think about some, now this is more moving away from the indies right away, but, you know, kind of to launch it. Think about some of these bigger studios having, you know, their own coin or their own marketplace. It seems just ripe for that. And I think we'll really start to see that next year.
So we talked about networking because there's strength in numbers in mobile and apps. You know, every app is an island. Why not get together? Mm-hmm. And there's, as I said, strength in numbers, but there's also strength that comes from within, you know, the personal growth. And looking at your background, you're also a very strong advocate for workplace equality. You provide mentorship to help other women in tech, you know, helping women up the ladder. You also serve as a marketing advisor to organizations such as Women 2.0, Women in Wireless, I know very well. Talking about networking, let's turn it around and talk about what's your advice. You gave us app growth. How about personal growth? What is some advice or even a trend you see there in 2022?
Yeah, I mean, networking has taken it. And for me personally, networking has taken a bit of a hit in the past year or two. I like being around people live. I was not one that really gravitated towards the networking on Zoom and drinking alone in my office for networking happy hours. That was,
We're all going to mix a virtual drink.
Yeah, I think I did it once and I was, oh, not my cup of tea. I'm excited for more things to come back. I think there is, you know, there's the traditional groups, right? There's Mobile Connect, there's MMA, there's the traditional more mobile groups. I'm hoping to see some of their events come up. I do think that they have done a great job on virtual events, and I think it's important to stay connected through some of their virtual events. I'm looking forward. I do think in 2022, we will see hopefully just at least some smaller events pop up. I don't know if we'll get like the really big ones that we're used to in the industry, but even just smaller, more intimate connections. And I think you can breed a lot of great connections out of that. I think you have the local things where, you know, Chief, which is a women's exec group right now, that they are curating these small local groups specifically for women execs, invite only. I've heard a lot of great things about them. And so I think those are the things I'm going to kind of start with next year. I would not say I have been as connected as doing those virtually, but my goal is to do more of a hybrid approach, just like with everything. Can I do a few virtual connections and then find a way to do, even if it's like an outdoor, you know, 15-person dinner or something like that.
Any tips on where to find this? Because some indies, they also ask me, they're like, you know, I'm upping my game. I'm going to be more part of the industry. You know, where do you hear about these places? And I'm like, well, there's certain Slack channels you need to be into, or certain LinkedIn groups or something. But it's like, well, yeah, but where do you start? Just curious, because you rattled off a number of different events and possibilities out there. How would or how could a developer, a marketer, find out about them? Is it something that you, maybe even you at AppLovin curate, or you know?
Maybe we should. That's actually a good idea. Maybe
the idea, because everyone's like, "Well, this is great if you're connected," but
yeah,
you know,
I hear that.
I'm not yet.
I hear that. I hear that. We should. I mean, we definitely have an industry events page. So that's like industry events. We go to all the regular events. So you should do Sameless AppLovin promotion here. You should check out our events page. I do think there's a lot of great forums, right, that like you're talking about. I think that like, oh, what is the one that Eric Schufer does? The mobile dev memo. I think that's a great one to be connected in. Mm-hmm. I agree though, because I think the Slack channels are great to be connected in, but it's not like a pushed list you can just reference. It's like if you're in the conversation, you hear about it, but as you step away, then you might have missed something. So I think those are awesome. I think more curated lists would be good. And I don't know of some strong curated list that talks about events. So I guess we should just do that. 2022 AppLovin will curate events list.
Fantastic. We'll get one of your sort of like your resolutions for the new year. And we are wrapping up. We're nearly into the holiday season. And we're thinking, okay, what are we going to do differently in next year? What are you going to do better? You know, we are all thinking about this, right? Any off-the-wall resolutions you've made, or maybe something where it's like, you know, I wish I would have done that. So that's what I'm going to have top of the list. What can you share, Katie?
Well, I mean, I don't want to take it back to what we were just talking about, but talking to you now and, you know, prior has made me realize that for me personally, I need to just do more networking. I think, look, I'm a new public company executive, right? Like we went on IPO this year in April. I've never been a public company executive. I've been a startup executive. And so finding ways to network and learn in that area, I think is really important. It's my personal goal is to keep the hunger, the speed, the quick decision-making of a startup that AppLovin is known for and so good at doing, that the focus on the dev, be able to keep all of that while still, you know, figuring out all these new public executive things that you have to do. Right.
I mean, you were a startup. I mean, I've known AppLovin since the very start, right? And you have that culture and you're like really cool and everything. And then, okay, now you're a startup grown up, but that doesn't mean, you know, the fun stops, the energy above all stops. It's about keeping that going. And speaking of going, I wish time wasn't going on here because Katie, we do have to wrap it up. But I do want to thank you so much for sharing. It was above all, it was authentic and real, which is what I'm hearing all the time. Everything needs to be, all content has to be real. And in that spirit, how can our audience stay in touch with you? How can they continue the conversation with you? What's the best
way? Yeah, you can just hit me up on my email. I'm very available. One of the other things is at AppLovin, we're direct and responsive. I'm just Katie at AppLovin. I'm old school. I have been here for a very long time, almost 9 years. So I have one of the just original emails. So you can just hit me up, Katie at AppLovin. I'd love to hear from you. I will respond. And I think I would like to say, you know, we are definitely keeping that startup mentality. We'll just roll right off an IPO and acquire MoPub. I mean, it doesn't get any.
I was going to talk about all that, but maybe that's another story for another time, because I mean, there are some stories. People are like, you know, wow, this industry is changing. It's transforming. Have you been watching AppLovin? And it's like, yes, we have, but I think we have to have you back and maybe talk a little bit more about that. But for right now, hey, you know, we're at that point. We not only close the show, we close the year. I want to wish you a great holiday season and see you on the other side, Katie.
Yes, thank you. And thanks everyone for listening. Really appreciate the time. Thanks, Peggy.
Absolutely. And of course, if you want to keep up with me throughout the week, find out more about how you can be a guest or sponsor on Mobile Presence, then you can email me. Yes, I am old school too. Email me, Peggy at mobilegroove.com. And you can, of course, check out this and all early episodes of our show by going to WMR.fm, or you can find our shows on Amazon, iTunes, Stitcher, Spreaker, Spotify, iHeartRadio, every place that matters, simply by searching Mobile Presence. And hey, don't forget, we have our video, right? Powered by The Groove, My Groove, The Groove, on YouTube, Mobile Presence, bringing you the guests, the insights, everything you need to know. So until next time, remember, every minute is mobile, so make every minute count. Keep well, stay safe, and we will see you soon.
The opinions expressed on this program are those of the guests and hosts and do not necessarily reflect those of WebmasterRadio.fm's management or sponsors. Any rebroadcast or redistribution without authorized consent of WebmasterRadio.fm is prohibited.